Welcome back, men, to Manhood Talks. If you're counting, this is day 21, the age of adulthood. Time to grow up and man up. Time for boys to act like men. It's funny how much we put on a number. 21 years old. But how does a boy really become a man? Is it just a birthday or is there more to it? We're finishing up Ephesians today, chapter 6, and our final instructions on how to walk worthy of the calling we have received. Your walk, your footsteps through this life. And I believe it is your walk that proves your maturity and what sort of man you are. Reviewing so far, walk in humility, walk in unity, walk in light, and walk in love. And speaking of love, here in chapter 6, we continue through your core relationships. Yesterday, we talked about marriage. Today, it's family and work. And this isn't just about relationships. These are some of your essential roles in life. When men talk about identity, it usually comes down to a few basic roles: a husband, a father or son, a worker or a boss. For a lot of guys, your family and your job are basically who you are. But for those of us who are in Christ, we have a foundation that's deeper than that. We are first a child of God, and the fact that I know who I am in Christ affects how I live out every other role: husband, father, son, worker, boss, whatever. Now remember, the key verse for relationships is back in chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Both sides, every relationship, submit, give in, sacrifice, put others first. Jesus submitted, and so do we. Submission is the crossroads of humility, respect, and love. Not forcefully, but noble and humble submission. First up today, children and parents. At verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Kids, obey mom and dad. I know this is a tough one. And I know every family has a story to tell when it comes to this. And of course, God understands crazy situations. If your parents tell you to sin or do something ungodly, you obey God first. But homework and chores are not sin. Don't make excuses. God wants unity in your family. Notice a phrase, obey parents in the Lord. Your foundation in Christ changes the kind of son you are. After all, Jesus obeyed his parents. Think about that. He created the universe, yet he submitted to human parents who were not perfect. And verse 2 quotes the Ten Commandments: honor your father and mother. Now watch the difference. Obedience is about the action taken. Honor is about the attitude. It's the respect you show while you obey. For adults, you no longer obey parents, but you still honor. Remember that honor often says more about the one showing it than the one receiving it. And the commandment comes with a promise: so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Life goes better. Life goes better when kids obey and honor. As kids, it's hard to understand. As parents, it makes a lot of sense. But this is not just a one-way street. Good parents also submit and make major sacrifices for their kids. In verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. In other words, exasperate is like frustrate. Dads, don't drive your kids crazy with inconsistent rules and unspoken expectations or too many dad jokes. You're in charge for their sake. So instead of frustrating them, bring them up means raise them up to maturity. The goal is a mature adult. Move towards it. Nothing exasperates your kid more than treating a youth like a child. The teen years are not just the end of childhood. They're beginning of adulthood. Raise your kids to be mature. Trust them with responsibilities that actually matter. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Training means practice, preparation, with real opportunity to live, to get in the game. Instruction means to teach them the word. Then verse 5 moves to the workplace, slaves and masters. This is not an endorsement of slavery. The Bible clearly denounces the slave trade and encourages slaves to get their freedom. In Philemon, Paul asked a slave owner to treat his slave no longer a slave, but a brother. So why does this passage address slaves? Because slavery was a reality for half of the population. It wasn't right, but it was a reality. And you may not be a slave, but there is a very good chance that at some point you will work in a situation that feels unfair or unjust. And the truth is, Jesus doesn't always change the injustice of our situation, but he does teach us how to live right in a world gone wrong. So for us, apply the directive here at work. Whether your boss is great or terrible, if you're a student, apply it at school. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Respect your boss and mean it sincerely. Why? Because Jesus is your real boss. So Paul says it doesn't matter if your boss is watching or not, because God is always watching. And the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Your job, your school, your work, it can feel like it doesn't matter, but the way you live it matters because character matters and because your Father is watching. And Paul tells bosses, the same goes for you. Respect your employees with that same respect. Lead for their sake. Even if you're in charge here, God is in charge of all of us, and there is no favoritism with him. We are all equal before God. And then the final section of Ephesians will really separate the men from the boys, at least spiritually speaking. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. To be God's child is to be strong in him, not your power, but his. So put on the armor and take your stand. The word here is a soldier's expression for standing ground and refusing to run. The devil wants to take you down, so stand firm. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's the key. Know your enemy. It's not your parents, your boss, or any other human. Love people and fight your enemy. Our struggle is against spiritual forces of evil. That means demons. And Paul lays out the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground. Truth is a belt that holds everything together. Righteousness is a breastplate. Knowing that you're right with God protects your heart. The gospel of peace, it is footwear. It makes you ready to move. Faith, it is a shield. Hold it tight in every attack. Salvation, it is a helmet. Knowing that you're saved protects you from the devil's mind games. The word of God, it is a sword. We fight with God's truth. And pray. Prayer is a weapon for all seasons, and it reminds us that all of our armor and every victory is the Lord's. And that's it for Ephesians. So read chapter 6, and in your journal, I want you to write the phrase, stand your ground. And once again, what does that look like in your life? We'll see you back with the group tomorrow for our last day. I'll see you there.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.